and return to Ezekiel 33. If we wanted a subject for the sermon, I'm not one for subjects, but the two verses, two lines in that hymn. His designs were wise and gracious for removing human guilt. So that's our subject. And in Ezekiel 33, and we turn to verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? God takes no pleasure in death. Death is because of sin, and he takes no pleasure in sin. And as if it weren't bad enough, the first death to which every human being is liable, God takes no pleasure in the second death, in the casting into the lake of fire, those who have not believed. I work through these verses of Ezekiel 33 and try and draw out the salient points. The Lord is speaking here to a nation with whom he is highly displeased, even as he speaks by the gospel to people with whom he is highly displeased, when he is highly displeased with them. It first surfaces in verse 2, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people. Comes up again. They're his people. But what he says to Ezekiel, he says, I don't own them. They belong to you. You deal with them. When I speak, you preach. When I speak to the children of thy people, they've long since left me. And you're one of them by nature, though not by grace. But you teach them this message. And first of all, he gives a very wonderful, relevant illustration, relevant to the people of those days, because you can imagine in those days, the people lived in fear of one nation or another coming with their army, huge armies, to attack them. It's something a bit difficult for us to think of because this country has not been attacked for years. But the idea that you might live near a boundary, say near Scotland, and any day they may come down in their hordes and destroy your crops, destroy your living, murder you, or commit rape with your daughters or your wife. To live in that sort of situation is more than we can imagine. But the Lord is addressing that as an illustration. When I bring the sword upon the land, what do people do if they're wise? Well, they pick a watchman, and they give the watchman a trumpet, just as Nehemiah did, on the walls. The man with the trumpet stood by me. And if he sees the enemy coming, he has a responsibility. He has a responsibility to blow that trumpet. And if he neglects to do that, then he is punishable. It is the alternatives that are quite powerful here in this chapter. Whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, we might say, whosoever heareth the sound of the gospel. The remarkable thing about Jesus' story of the house on the sand and the house on the rock is that they both are about people who hear the word of God. One hears and does, one hears and doesn't. And he's the one like the sand. So it's the same here. If someone hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, that's his responsibility. The sword come and take it away. his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. So to hear the glorious gospel of Christ, preached by the ministers, the watchmen, and not to take heed is the responsibility of the individual when he finds himself unacceptable to God and rejected from him. On the other hand, if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, oh, he wasn't warned, he didn't hear the gospel. But if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity just the same. But it's the watchman's fault, and the watchman is punishable. So, if the preacher doesn't preach or the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, the sinner dies anyway. And it's easy to miss that contrast there. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But maybe it's the watchman's fault. So here is the powerful thing about hearing the gospel. We all make our own decisions. The sword come and take him away, he took not warning. His blood shall be upon his own head. Our children grow up, think of ours, and then grandchildren, and they grow up hearing the gospel. In my case, two accept it and one doesn't. They had the same upbringing. But the one that doesn't, it's his decision. He decides that he won't do what his father and mother pleaded with him to do and what his two siblings decided to do. But what comes out here, as you see, he is taken away in his iniquity. If anything happens, he'll be unsaved. But the individual cannot plead another excuse. Oh, my mum and dad, they were too strict. Quite possible, but it's still your decision that you're not following their faith. If you say, I didn't like old so-and-so who professed to be a Christian down the road, very true, very likely. But it's still your decision. What a stupid decision it is to throw away your own faith because of somebody you didn't like. And so that goes on. I've set thee as a watchman. When I say unto the wicked, so God is saying to the wicked in their hearts every day. So we see here the people, when they know in their conscience what the Lord is saying to them, won't act unless they have a corroborating word. Many people have sat in churches, sinners, known they're sinners, but it was when the preacher preached as if it was exactly to them. And no other. When I, says God, speak to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. It is his responsibility. But if the preacher does not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that man shall die. But it's the preacher's fault. The preacher is responsible. But if thou warn the man of his wicked way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. So God warns in the conscience. The person hears the gospel somewhere and knows it's for him, or knows it reflects his or her condition, does nothing about it. If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. the response of the Jewish people to this preaching was that, all right, if our transgressions and sins remain on us and we're guilty of them, we're pining away in them, we're dying in them, how can there be life? They were just shaking their fist at God. And this is where God said, as I live, he swore by himself because he could swear by nothing greater. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. We wouldn't have pleasure in our oldest son dying because of his sin. But we wouldn't have pleasure in his death either. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The wicked could have turned. The wicked was pleading to turn, being pleaded with. And still in this verse, he's still being pleaded with. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What would give me pleasure was that that wicked man turned from his way. I'm not saying that you're wicked and you have no hope and there's no life. I'm saying that if you're wicked or you've done things wrong, that you turn to me, you plead with me for salvation, and that you know that the blood of Christ cleanses you from all your sin. I have no pleasure, says the Lord, in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's what gives me pleasure. If wicked people turn from their way and then live, repent, confess their sins, rely on the blood of the Lord Jesus and his righteousness, that gives me pleasure, even though they've sinned. Turn ye. Oh, this is God pleading. Turn. Oh, turn from your evil ways. For why will you die? It's your responsibility again. Turn from your evil ways. What's got into you? Why do you want to die? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways. For why will you die? Why indeed? The greatest enemy of turning from one's wickedness and living is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. I'll be all right. My good things will add up to my bad things. I read the two stories from Luke 18, you see. On the one hand, I'm much better than him. You can only be much better if comparatively. When the Lord Jesus said, be thou perfect as my Father is in heaven is perfect, that's absolute. That's absolute. No good saying, I'm better than no sons here. I'm not better than other children in my class. I'm much better than other people at my work. I don't do the things that they do wrong. I'm much better. That's in comparison. The Lord requires perfection. You can't do it. So you need his righteousness, not your own righteousness. And the other was the young ruler, who said, all these laws have I kept from my youth up. He hadn't. Interestingly, Jesus didn't quote the ones that he failed in. He pointed him to them, but he didn't quote them. One thing thou lackest. And then he lacked giving his heart to the Lord. He wouldn't come and follow him. There was still something that was just holding him tight to this world. And when I think of that young man, I think, oh, how dreadful. He was a lovely rich man. He was a lovely young man. He had the whole of his life before him. Jesus said, come and follow me. And he went away sad. He knew at that age, in that moment, that he'd made the wrong decision. we never hear of him coming back. Surely there would have been a sequel if there was one recorded in the Bible. So, in verse 12, to go on from the text, why will you die? Therefore, in the preaching, say to the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Brilliant. You've never broken any of the Ten Commandments. You've got to the age of 50. Then you snap one day. That's the end of everything you've ever done before that's been any good. There's no way to live, is it, really? To live with the aim to go perfection and then you snap about something. And that's all gone. It's not the Christian way, but that's the way that many plead. And that's what's being spoken of here. Say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And then he says the opposite. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. The wickedness of Manasseh was so great that though Chronicles mentions him, Kings doesn't. It was so great that many people died because of that. And yet when he sought forgiveness, the Lord forgave him. If there are wicked people, if there are those who've done this or that to harm others and wreck their own lives and wreck those of their nearest and dearest and wreck those of other people, if they repent, and only the Lord knows when it's genuine, but genuine repentance, in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, he shall not fall. So there are the two opposites. That's what the thing means. If you live in your own strength, you make one mistake, you fail. If you're wicked and you repent, yes, you'll live, but you'll sin again, if not that sin. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he shall trust to his own righteousness, he won't. So the righteousness of Christ is being spoken of here. All of us who think that we're good, all of us who think that we're righteous by nature, will discover at some point that there's a fatal flaw within us. And the only message for a sinner of any sort, particularly the self-righteous who find it difficult to see anything wrong in themselves, but the only plea is the righteousness of Christ. He was the only man ever without sin. And he died to pay the price of those who turned to him, the price of their sin. And when they believe, his righteousness is imputed to them by the Father. Or if you like, they are clothed in the righteousness of God. It's pictured as a robe of righteousness. But if we trust in our own righteousness, and if what follows is what will inevitably follow, that we do commit a sin, that's it. The only way for a sinner to be saved is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By his atonement, he's paid the price substitutionally. In my place, he stood condemned. And his righteousness is the robe that is given to cover the sinner who shelters under the shed blood of Christ. So here are pictured people who are righteous, but it's their own righteousness. And I say to the righteous that he shall surely live. If he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. Not often that word is used in plural. Isaiah uses it. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Picture, if you like, I mean, Isaiah was long before then, but picture the Victorian street children. What clothes they had scarcely covered them. And our righteousnesses, things we think we've done well, they're like filthy rags. They don't cover us. All his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. But when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, and doesn't trust his own righteousness, but turns to the Lord Jesus, as many Old Testament saints did do, though they didn't know him by the name of Jesus, then none of his sins that have been committed shall be mentioned unto him. But it's all by the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinners are only saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his perfect righteousness. Our own righteousness of any sort or to any extent will not get us there. I have no pleasure, says the Lord, in the death of the wicked. If you die, and if it is that you thought you could go to heaven by your righteousness, he has no pleasure in your righteousnesses. He has no pleasure in your death. What a way to go out of the world. What a way to go out of the world. Some will miss you. And some people go out of the world because they've overlived their generation. Only the undertaker is there. But if God takes no pleasure, what a way to go out of the world. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his way and live. Turn. Turn. Why will he die? Please heed the warnings of God our Father, of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the strength of his Holy Spirit. Amen.